Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Actually, it's just the KER Report now. We're steering away a bit from politics, although in the second hour, we're going to be talking a little bit about our reaction to President Biden's speech. Be really curious to see what you guys think about that. Starting out the first hour of the show, however, I'm chatting right now with a gentleman by the name of Stephen Meyer. Stephen, among other things, is a graduate of Cambridge University, along with some other universities. He has just written a book entitled The Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries Revealing the Mind Behind the Universe. You're going to find Mr. Meyer to be a fascinating, I guess I should be a little bit more respectful, Dr. Meyer. He does have a PhD. He's the director, by the way, also of the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute, and is a New York Times bestselling author. Dr. Meyer, tell us a little bit about your book, The Return of the God Hypothesis.
Right, exactly. Well, thanks for having me on, Al.
Real pleasure.
Yeah, the book examines three great and very significant discoveries that have been made about biological and cosmological origins, about the origin of life and the origin of the universe, that point in the direction of not just an intelligent agent of some kind, but an intelligent designer who has the attributes that, for example, Jews and Christians have always ascribed to God. We have in our culture many very powerful voices telling us that science, properly understood, undermines belief in God. The famous New Atheist writers, led by Richard Dawkins, have said things like, the universe we observe has exactly the properties we should expect. If at bottom there was no purpose, no design, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. That's a quote from Dawkins. But I show in the book, in fact, the universe does not have the properties we should expect if it were the product of mindless materialistic processes. That is Dawkins's preferred worldview, his scientific atheistic worldview. Instead, three major things have been discovered, at least, that challenge this scientific atheism. One, the universe had a beginning. The material universe had a beginning, including time and space. Secondly, the universe in its basic physical structure has been finely tuned to allow for the possibility of life, suggesting a cosmic fine tuner. And thirdly, at the foundation of life and even the simplest cells, biologists have discovered a complex information storage, transmission, and processing system that's run by digital code, suggesting the work of a master programmer. Bill Gates, in fact, has said that DNA is like a software program, but much more complex than any we've ever created. Dawkins himself acknowledges that the DNA contains machine code. And we know from experience that information, especially in the digital or alphabetic form, always comes from an intelligent source, whether we're talking about a computer program or a paragraph in a book or the information that we might find in a hieroglyphic inscription or the information that you and I are transmitting over a radio signal right now. Information ultimately comes from a mind, not an undirected material process. So when we look at these three discoveries, take them together, it paints a picture of a designing intelligence that is active in the creation, that has generated life after the beginning of the universe, but also an intelligent agent who transcends the creation, who is separate from it, in order to bring it into existence at the beginning. We can't explain the origin of the universe as a result of purely materialistic causes, because prior to the universe, there was no matter and energy to do the causing. After all, by the origin of the universe, we're talking about the origin of matter as well as space and time and energy. So these three discoveries are mind-blowing, and they were not expected on an atheistic or materialistic worldview. They're precisely what one would expect given a theistic worldview, and therefore they provide evidential support for belief in God, what I call the return of the God hypothesis.
Steve, I got a question for you. When you talk about the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute, is that associated? I know it's located in Seattle. Are you guys by Seattle Pacific University? Are you at all affiliated with them?
No, we're not. Although we've done events there on their campus, they've been very kind to allow us to use some of their facilities and their infrastructure. We also do a summer seminar for young scientists who are on the trajectory to finish PhDs or go into faculty positions, and we often conduct the seminar on their campus as well. But we're located in downtown Seattle. We have a lab out in Redmond, and then we have research fellows and research projects located all across the globe. We've got a major project in Israel right now at the Weizmann Institute, another one in Germany in Munich, so we have affiliated scientists, and then we also support scientists who are independent of us who are doing work advancing the theory of intelligent design, or what we call the Intelligent Design Research Program.
Tell me a little bit, if you would, Steve, about the size and the scope of your institution.
Well, we have 40 affiliated scientists and scholars, and a core staff here in Seattle that supports their work and publicizes their work. We have about 15 research projects that we're supporting with scientists at who are officially independent of us but are receiving research funding from us. Many of those projects are in the States, but we have a major center in Brazil at McKinsey University, the Discovery Institute Sao Paulo, which is being headed up by one of the top Brazilian scientists, Marcos Eberlin, who has who's a member of the Brazilian Academy of Sciences and was their designate to the International Academy of Sciences, so very prominent chemist. We have research projects, as I mentioned, in Israel, the UK, Germany, Austria, and a couple other places around the globe. So the idea that life is the product of a designing intelligence, and that the evidence that we have is best explained by positing such an intelligence, which is what we mean by the theory of intelligent design, that idea is catching on. I think especially in the rising generation of young scientists, that we're finding a tremendous enthusiasm for looking at life differently. We inherited a strictly materialistic view of reality and of life out of the late 19th century with figures like Darwin, Haeckel, Huxley,
right,
Marx, Freud. And I think that worldview is now increasingly understood to be inadequate by a growing number of scientists and philosophers and other scholars. And so there's a revolution in thought taking place, and we mean to help foment that. That's part of our mission at Discovery Institute. We're trying to challenge that materialistic view of reality and show that science properly understood has theistic implications that are friendly to certainly to belief in an intelligent designer of some kind. But also my new book pushes that argument a bit further to say that the designing, and if you look closely at the evidence that we have, not just from biology, but from physics and cosmology and astronomy as well, that the designing agent that is responsible for life and the universe must in some way transcend the universe, and therefore we're looking at something like God, not, for example, as some scientists have proposed, a space alien or something like that.
I find that to be fascinating. Now, let me ask you this, and then I'm going to have to let you go, but first, we are going to get Stephen back on the show, by the way. We're going to have Steve Meyer back on the show, along with certainly John Horvat, among other people, and Dr. Chuck Page, a very, very active, what I would call evangelical Christian, who is incredibly interested in this particular subject. It has changed his life, for lack of better terms. And then, of course, John Horvat, we all know he's very, very active in this particular area right now. Stephen, we're just about out of time here. We're at 8:43, and we have to break here at 9:25. Let me ask you a question. Would it be convenient to put together a special along with John Horvat, Chuck Page, and myself, maybe in about 3 weeks, and we can really tackle this subject, what I would call tackle the subject as completely as we possibly can? Would that work for you, sir?
I'd be delighted to do that, and it's fascinating how many physicians now see the evidence of design as
right,
we're presenting
right.
It. They're very quickly persuaded because of the work they do on the human body and the intricacy and interconnectedness of all the different organ systems and parts. They work with design, and they try to restore design when it's damaged. So the majority of U.S. doctors are skeptical about the Darwinian account of biological origins and increasingly friendly to the idea of intelligent design. So I'd love to talk about this with
Better take a break, Steve. Better take a break real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'll be right back.